In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. During these 3 gut-wrenching days of Abraham's life, I have to believe he thought to himself, something is terribly wrong here. I would agree with him. Even though we know the end of the story, you can't help but read this Bible passage from Genesis 22 and say, something is drastically wrong for God to command a father to slaughter his beloved son. When we step back from this passage and just look at what is happening, something is drastically wrong. You can see how wrong it is because of the love in this father-son relationship. God says in verse 2, take your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love. Abraham loves Isaac. Born to him in his old age, watching him grow up, Isaac would be the light of his life. You can hear that love in the conversation between Abraham and Isaac. My father, here's the wood and the fire, but where's the lamb for the sacrifice? My son, God will provide. My father, my son, this relationship just speaks of love. Then you hear God say, go sacrifice him. Those words had to strike at Abraham's heart. God, how could you ask that of this father? A father is told to sacrifice his son. Something is drastically wrong here, but not just on that human level. On another level, God's promises are at stake here. He has promised that Abraham will be the father of many nations, that his offspring will be as numerous as the stars in the sky or the sand on the beach. A promise that out of Abraham's line will be born one who will be a blessing to all nations. Now, to kill Isaac is to break that promise God had made to Abraham. Something is drastically wrong when God tells a father to slaughter his son and when God's promises come into question. But not just back in Abraham's time. Today, when we see what happens to children nowadays, we say something is drastically wrong. More and more in our cities, we see children being murdered, gunned down on the street, in a yard, or even at their own home. I think it used to be decreed on the street that you did not kill women and children. But apparently, that's changed now. You do someone else in before you get it done in yourself. And it doesn't matter who gets in the way. So children die. And we simply say, something is drastically wrong. Statistics says that anxiety and worry among teenagers, perhaps the same age as Isaac in our reading, have skyrocketed. And with that, teenage suicide. Something is wrong. Take every school shooting and add to them the other mass murders in our country, like the Las Vegas concert or the Boston Marathon bombing, every one of those victims was somebody's child. Something is wrong here. When parents have to walk into a room and kiss their child goodbye for the last time, when he or she lies there cold and lifeless, you have to agree with them when they say, "This is not right. A parent should never have to bury a child." Then, beyond that human level, God's promises are involved. Often I search online for images of crosses to use here in church, and one of them caught my attention. It had a number of promises written on it. And here are some. God is always by your side. You are never alone. God hears our prayers. God surrounds us by His grace. The Lord is good, and His love endures forever. God is never more than a prayer away. He restores my soul. Wonderful and incredible promises written on this cross. But when you see what happens to children, you begin to wonder about God's promises. Something is drastically wrong here. And yet, Abraham journeyed the 3 days to that mountain. Those 3 days must have been horrendous because he knew what he was going to do at the end of them. But a couple of sentences indicate that Abraham had hope. He trusted that somehow God would provide. He says to the two servants in verse 5, "Stay here. I and the boy will go over there and worship and come again to you." He does not say, "I will come back to you." He says, "I and the boy will come back to you." He is trusting that God will provide. Or, after Isaac's question in verse 7, "My father, behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering?" And Abraham replies, "God will provide for himself the lamb." With those words, we are listening to Abraham holding on in hope to God's promise. He has hope that God will work out the details here. And that trust, that hope, that belief takes him all the way to the moment when he has the knife in his hand at Isaac's throat. Now, someone might say that Abraham was telling a little lie so that nobody knew what was going to happen. Or perhaps it was a prophetic word. Well, in the book of Hebrews, chapter 11, we get a better answer. It says, "By faith, Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac, and he who had received the promises was in the act of offering up his son, of whom he was said, 'Through Isaac shall your offspring be named.' He considered that God was able even to raise him from the dead, from which, figuratively speaking, he did receive him back." Did you hear how that description of Adam, of Abraham started? By faith. By faith, Abraham took Isaac up that mountain. At that moment, Abraham's faith held on to the promise that God would provide. In this case, God did provide by sparing Isaac's life. But on a bigger, broader, deeper level, God provided. And we get a glimpse of it. Isaac carries the wood for a sacrifice. Jesus carries the cross for his sacrifice. Isaac is the son, the only son, whom Abraham loved. Jesus is the son, the only son whom the father loves. A ram is in a thicket to be sacrificed in the place of Isaac. Jesus on the cross takes our place and is sacrificed for us. The promises come true. Through Isaac, Abraham's descendants are numerous. From Abraham's offspring comes Jesus. God provides forgiveness, life, and salvation. God provides, and He keeps His promises for us as well. Paul wrote in Romans 8, "If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare His own Son, but gave Him up for us all, how will He not also with Him graciously give us all things?" Jesus is not only for us on the cross. He has risen from the dead to be with us as well. So when everything looks so wrong, God provides by keeping His promises for us and being with us. When everything looks so wrong, God provides by keeping His promises for us and being with us. The story of Lazarus' death and Jesus' conversation with Martha and Mary shows this for us and with us of Jesus and of God beautifully. Jesus had a messenger come to him one day to tell him that one of his closest friends, Lazarus, was sick and about to die. For some reason, Jesus waits another 2 days before going there. When he finally arrives, Lazarus' sister Martha meets him and says to him, "Lord, if you would have been here, my brother wouldn't have died." Can you hear it in her voice? "Something is wrong here, Jesus, and you were not here for us." Then, in the conversation, Jesus makes an incredible promise for all of us. "I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die." Do you believe this? Do you believe this, Martha? And she makes the good confession. She holds on. She believes in what Jesus will do for her. Then Jesus goes to Mary. She has been crying. She too says, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But Jesus, this time, Jesus doesn't have a conversation with her. This time, Jesus does something different. He weeps with her. He cries with her. When you think about Jesus crying this story, it makes you consider that Jesus knew Lazarus was dead even before the messenger told him. And yet Jesus cried when he heard the news. Jesus knew he could and would raise Lazarus back to life. But Jesus is still crying because his friend had died. Jesus knew that his death would defeat death for Lazarus and all people. And yet still, Jesus cried about Lazarus' death. So we can conclude that knowing how the story ends doesn't mean you can't cry at the sad parts. When we cry during the sad moments of our life, God provides. God keeps His promises. Jesus is with us even when things are so wrong. God provides by keeping His promises written on a cross in an empty tomb. Listen, He is always by your side. You are never alone. He hears our prayers. He surrounds us with His grace. God is never more than a prayer away. He restores my soul. Like Abraham, we are simply called to believe, to trust that God will provide, that He is with us, and to hope. I still expect to cry at times when things seem so wrong, so drastically wrong. And I expect everyone to cry, for you to cry, when things seem so drastically wrong. But there will come a day of no more tears. Jesus will come back. On that glorious day of resurrection, He will do for us what we could never do. Children will no longer have to worry about being killed or think about suicide or dying of horrible diseases. Instead, everything will be dramatically right. But until that day, we cry at the sad parts. And like Abraham, when that happens, all we can do is trust that God will provide, because Jesus is with us and He keeps His promises. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.